Hey guys, it's the Rock Your Relationships podcast. This is Chuck.
Hi, it's Betsy.
And today we are talking about anger, which is one of my favorite emotions.
Oh, good.
It's like the only one that was acceptable as far as a strong emotion goes in my household growing up.
Right.
Like if you were crying or something like that, you kind of had to get yourself together. Uh-huh. You know, that was not something for public display. But anger, you could, you know, cuss, you could be loud, you could get frustrated. Uh-huh. Especially the men in my family, that was kind of our go-to strong emotion.
Right, yeah.
And one of the things that, for me, one place this would come out is with sports. So I played tennis when I was younger. I still enjoy playing tennis. But when I would play as a kid,
right.
I saw John McEnroe on television. Shows how old we are. And he would lose his temper and throw his racket. And so I imitated that. And I think I broke like 2 or 3 tennis rackets. Those things are not cheap. That was one way I showed anger. Another thing is watching sports, especially college football. My favorite team, the Clemson Tigers, I would watch them. And I would get so loud and animated, and I still do sometimes. But my anger is much more under control now, as you know.
It is. Do you remember when you fasted from football for... I know you're trying to move on, but this is fascinating to me. You remember you fasted for one football season?
Well, I wasn't exactly fasting from it, but what I would do is record the games and then watch them later. Because right. I didn't want to watch it live because
but I was... But didn't you look up the score?
I had somebody else look it up for me and tell me whether or not I should watch the game.
You had like an accountability partner.
Well, my grandmother, Mama Ruth, would do this for me.
We love Mama.
She knew that I wasn't going to watch the game, so yes. I would call her and say, should I watch it? And sometimes she likes to be playful, and she'd say, oh, it was bad. You don't need to watch it. And I was like, okay. And she's like, just kidding. You need to watch it. And so that was a sweet thing for us.
Right.
You know, staying in touch over that. But I kind of had to detox.
So God used it for good. It was a way for you and your mom all to bond.
That's right. It was.
Yes.
But anger can be really destructive, too.
It can. It's not a laughing matter a lot of times.
And anger is one of those things... if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you.
Absolutely. And everyone in your family.
It will get out of control. It can do so much damage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things, I don't know, this is necessarily different, but among all the emotions in the emotional cup, which we're about to talk about, it's the one that seems to have the most destructive potential to mm-hmm. other people outside you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some kinds of emotions like shame can really be destructive to you internally,
mm-hmm.
but anger really has potential to hurt other people badly mm-hmm. outside of you. So it's so important that we learn how to deal with our anger.
You can also turn it on yourself too, like anger on yourself, and it's like self-punishment, self-hatred, self-condemnation.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we want to learn how to deal right. with anger. So I mentioned the emotional cup just a second ago, and mm-hmm. You can download your own copy of the emotional cup. You can go back and listen to some of our earlier core teachings on the emotional cup. Betsy, where can you download the emotional cup?
Well, probably the easiest way to find our handout is receivemyspirit.org, and then click on Rock Your Relationships podcast and scroll down to Emotional Cup handout.
Right. So if you don't have that, you may want to look that up the next chance you get and fill in, go back to the core teaching where you can fill in the different parts of the emotional cup. For right mm-hmm. now, the main thing, too, that we want to talk about are the negative emotions that are there in the bottom of the cup, the mm-hmm. nasty stuff in the bottom of the cup. Hurt is the first one. We've already talked about hurt, and we talked about the antidote to hurt, which is comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Spend a lot of time on that because it's the most basic one.
You can receive comfort from other people and from God.
Right. And anger floats right on top of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So the antidote for anger is forgiveness.
Okay, so I think that the best way for us to understand what forgiveness is first to think about what it's not.
Right.
Because it is not just saying, oh, it's okay that this bad thing happened or that so-and-so did this bad thing to me.
Because it's not okay.
It's not okay.
When people hurt you.
Right. When you're hurt or people hurt you, it's not okay. And it's also not, like, forgiveness is not being completely free from the effects of the hurt. So you might think that you haven't forgiven someone if, for instance, you still can't talk to them for a while. You know, you just can't face mm-hmm. them because it hurts so much.
Right.
If you don't have like warm feelings toward them, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, if it's a really bad thing that happened to you, if you want to see them imprisoned because of justice, you might think, well, if I really forgave him, would I want him to be off the hook? You know, and so sometimes people say that they don't want to forgive because they think forgiveness means letting them off the hook, saying it's okay, saying it was no big deal, saying it doesn't hurt anymore, kind of thing.
Right. And sometimes God gives people those gifts as they forgive, those consolations mm-hmm. that allow them to say, you know, it doesn't hurt anymore, or I'm just not angry anymore at this person.
Like, the point is, you're not letting them off the hook. You're letting them off your hook and onto God's hook. So it really is a question of trust. It's not like people think it might be self-control or like the ability to control your thoughts, the ability to control whether you're hurting or not, but it's really trust. It's trusting that God will do his justice for that person and that he cares enough about you that he's going to see to your healing. He's going to care for you. So I want to read a scripture verse from Matthew, and it is Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. And Peter comes to Jesus, and it says, "Then Peter, approaching him, asked, 'Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" And so Jesus was not making the point that actually it's whatever, you know, 7 times 7 or 77. It's not a particular number. What Jesus was saying was it's a crazy high number. It's an infinite number.
I think I've even heard that it's like a perfect number.
Right.
You can't count it.
Yes, right. Because the 7 is very symbolic in the Bible. And so Jesus was saying there's just an infinite number of times. So you don't count the times is what it is. And another way that we might say that in our modern language is that it's a lifestyle. Okay, we have so many lifestyle, you know, phrases, and forgiveness is a lifestyle. You can also say forgiveness is a path.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to make sure not that you are thinking of every single event and making sure that you're still not mad about it, or whatever, you're still not hurt about it. It's that you are on that path of forgiveness.
Right.
And you have to realize you're not walking that path by yourself. Jesus walked that path already. That's that path to the cross, right? That's when he put one foot in front of the other, and he fell, and he got back up, and he had help. Even Jesus had help. And he carried the burden on his shoulders of the cross. And as we forgive, we are walking that path. It's not easy, but it's the path toward perfection.
Right.
So when you remember something that's hurt you and it kind of flares up inside, don't let the devil harass you. Well, you just must not have forgiven that person. You just stop and say, what path am I on? Okay, I'm on the path of Jesus. I'm with him.
And sometimes you just may be able to take just a baby step down that path. That may be all you're capable of because the offense is so great to you. And the more you can reach out to Christ
mm-hmm.
and say, walk with me, Jesus, and seek him for help in mm-hmm. walking that path that he's already walked, it can help you take those baby steps, and then they become larger steps. And
mm-hmm.
before, you know, it may be years before mm-hmm. you're very far down the path, but it's that being in the right direction, just taking the steps that you can in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how this scripture moves it off of the balance sheet, you know, the check marks, like, okay, I've forgiven them once, twice, you know, not three times,
or this much, but I can't forgive them for this thing.
Right. It moves it off of that and into the realm of relationships. And I love what you're saying about it being a path. It's qualitative. It's not quantitative.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Right. There is a great prayer that I have used many times that when I am reminded of pain or something I'm angry about and it's hard for me to forgive, I have used the prayer, Jesus, bless him or bless her, change me. bless her, change me. Mm-hmm. And I know that God's blessing on that person is going to involve their sanctification because he wants that person to be holy even more than I do. So I can trust that he is going to do what's necessary to help that person change and feel sorry for what they've done, mm-hmm. you know, and I really hope that for them because I don't want them to have to carry the burden of sins that they, you know, refuse to repent of. And then I can also say, change me, meaning make me however you need me to be in this situation. You know, I don't apologize. I used to apologize to God and say, I'm sorry that I'm still upset about this, but that is in my past. Like that was just bad theology. You know, Jesus knows I'm upset and I can't help it. It's just how I feel. And I'll just say, bless them, change me. And then I just try to trust and then just move on, you know?
Right. Because we need grace. We need God's grace to be able to forgive.
Right.
And the basis of so much forgiveness, especially the things that Jesus said, he comes back so many times in scripture to say, you have been forgiven of so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basis of our forgiveness. Like you said, we're letting that person off of our hook mm-hmm. and putting them on God's hook.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, one of the things we've talked about a couple times already is the hurt that's there. You know, oftentimes anger is spurred by an offense, especially interpersonal anger. So many times there's a hurt that's underneath that anger.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the emotional cup, that's one of the reasons for the ordering of it, why hurt is on the bottom. It's kind of that foundational, fundamental emotion. And we are very good at turning, or maybe very bad, at turning hurt into anger. I know for me, I don't want to feel hurt. And a lot of people don't want to be there experiencing that hurt. You don't want to stay present in the hurt. And,
yeah.
and anger can be easier to feel.
Oh,
it can
totally.
Be easier to experience because it's almost like you're venting it outward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of sitting in that hurt. And when you're hurting, you need, what's the antidote?
Comfort.
And so because you can't comfort anger,
right.
many times in order to really deal with anger, especially something that keeps coming up, you have to be able to get back down to the hurt and deal with the anger. It's like if you've seen a gas grill or a gas stove, as long as the gas is on, it just takes a spark for it to flame it up.
Yeah.
So maybe you forgive and the flame goes out. You know, you blow the flame out, but the gas is still on. That
mm-hmm.
hurt that is fueling the anger is still there. It hasn't been dealt with. So
Ooh.
All it takes is a spark to flame it up.
And if you leave the gas running too long, you can have an explosion.
That's right. It can build up and boom.
Right.
And we see that happen, right? People explode
yes.
in anger. I know I've done that before.
They hold it in, and then bam.
So when people, I know some of the folks that we learned this from would talk about when you get a $5 reaction to a 50-cent offense.
Right.
Where does
yeah.
that come from?
Yeah.
It comes from this issue. There's a hurt there that the gas is on, and that spark, that little 50-cent spark, causes the boom, the $5 reaction. It's because there's a hurt there, and the hurt is transferable. So it's not you that hurt me. Maybe you're the person who offends me, and I blow up on you.
Maybe I'm the most recent one.
Right, but the deeper hurt didn't come from you in the first place.
Right.
And this is where it can really get complicated and where you have to understand it's a path, it's a process, like
mm-hmm.
you're saying.
Yeah.
Is because sometimes we have deep hurts that go back to our childhoods, things that that still haven't been resolved. I guess just everybody has stuff like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
even people with the happiest childhoods will have something.
Oh, for sure.
But a lot of people have deep hurts that they carry around with them, and that hurt is the gas is still on, and so other people spark that area, and it blows up, and the anger's there. And so if you're someone who seems to have seems to blow up a lot and get upset, it's important to try to get down and figure out, where does that come from?
Mm-hmm.
What is the hurt that's underneath that anger?
Right.
This has been revolutionary for me. I know now I'm able to say, okay, I'm angry. I know there was a hurt there. Let me get back down to the hurt. What was the hurt? And then when I can express the hurt, then you or God or someone else can offer comfort to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a little bit easier to go back and I can forgive. And over time, especially with those deep hurts, it gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier to forgive. as you deal with those hurts.
Okay, so practically, we know that we need to experience healing so that we can get hold of anger issues. And we can know how to handle anger better by forgiving and then letting people comfort us, comfort our hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, though, it's best to shoot for getting the hurt comforted first and then let the forgiving come. So it's almost like they work in tandem. So, like, let's say you're angry. If you can forgive just a little, like, just kind of calm yourself a little.
Yeah.
And then just let the hurt happen enough to let it show with a good friend who will offer comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's easier to do the forgiveness part. Really, it's like you can almost go back and forth, you know, between you forgiving and then you receiving comfort. You can forgive a little more, receive a little more comfort.
Yeah.
And until you get healed, you know. It's like layers of the wound kind of getting healed. And so we can help each other. So let's say you have a friend that you want to help who is very angry. And so a great thing to do is not to necessarily say, well, you need to just let your hurt show, you know, is you can be angry for them, which is different from being angry with them. Because being angry with someone, it's what we call just kind of escalating the anger. It's like it just makes the anger ball just bigger because there's two of you angry. So that's not the answer. But you can get angry for someone, which is kind of a controlled anger situation. And you say to them something like, oh, man, I can't believe that happened. Or that was so wrong. You did not deserve that. They should never have said that. You should never have done that. You know, so you're basically entering into the situation with them and letting them know that their reaction is normal.
Right.
Right.
And sometimes for people just to hear from another person, that was wrong. That
yes.
should not have happened to you. He shouldn't have done that to you. She shouldn't have done that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Can really be the first step to helping them unlock mm-hmm. that and realize there was a real offense here. I really am hurt. You know.
And it communicates to your friends their self-worth, that they are worth something, that they shouldn't be mistreated. So then you can do that and then kind of move into asking about hurt, like, man, that must have hurt, you know, or if you're that angry, I bet you're really hurt about it. You know, you would know your friend and you know how best to approach it, you know, what kind of words to say. But you know, even if you want to be more subtle, you can just say, oh, man, I'm so sorry that happened. I know that just wiped out your whole day, you know, whatever, just something to let them know that you get that it was hard. And then get them to share, say, man, not just what did you do? Because that's just telling the story. But, man, how did that feel? What did it remind you of? You know, or whatever will kind of get them to talk about their feelings. And you're helping them get back down to the hurt. And in a roundabout way, you're helping them come back to Jesus. Because when we're vulnerable, that's when we're open to the Lord, I think.
Yeah. And you know, this is hard for guys. This is still hard for me. It was really hard for me when I first started learning about this. And there were some times when I just had to kind of grip my teeth and exert my will and say, you know what? I need to forgive. God tells me I need to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
This is the right thing to do. I just had to kind of knuckle down and realize I need to get back to the hurt because guys don't talk like this. We don't say to each other, dude, I can't believe he treated you like that. Man, you must have really been hurting.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't talk like that.
I bet your heart was heavy, dude.
Yeah. So this takes some work, and it may sound differently for guys, but the principles are the same.
Right. Yeah. And you can even reach out and just touch a little touch on the shoulder or a hug, you know, whatever. That's the kind of thing that doesn't work well with anger, but it really works well for comfort when you're dealing with hurt. So just, you know, a little physical affection can go a long way. Even when someone's angry, just kind of slowly helping them relax a little bit and warm up to being comforted.
You can see, this is one, you can see the posture change. You can see the countenance change when someone makes that transition from being angry to being hurt.
Right.
You know, from the sort of tight and up shoulders and tense face too. The face falls, the shoulders fall,
mm-hmm.
you know, that may even be, you know, from looking up and a hard face to looking down, those kinds of things are mm-hmm. cues. It's time to transition to try to help comfort mm-hmm. some hurt. And then they may flare back up again and you can yeah. see it.
And that's okay, especially with a really bad wrong. I mean, you have to go through anger. It is a normal human emotion. It's like it's okay to go there. You just don't want to camp there. You know, right. if you heard it's a great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Right.
Right. That's anger. Try not to live there.
And I'll say we've talked some about how can you help someone else, help a friend, help a spouse who's struggling with anger. Also, you can help yourself. Jesus gives us the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
So going to reconciliation, going to confession, sometimes you're just confused. You don't know what part of it is unforgiveness that you need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And the priest can help you sort that out in confession through the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And you can also just on your own say, Holy Spirit, help me sort this out.
Right.
And the Spirit.
Or go to adoration.
Right.
And offer it up to Jesus in the Eucharist. That's been wonderful for me.
So there's a lot of grace out there, and we need to avail ourselves of it when mm-hmm. we are in these situations of we're stuck in anger and need to deal with it.
Well, I think we've given everyone a lot to think about this time. So we'll wrap up. The content of this podcast is a mix of our original content and content owned by Intimate Life Ministries, which was developed by Drs. David Ferguson and Bruce Walker. If you need Christian counseling, we recommend the same people who counseled and trained us, the Center for Relational Care at relationalcare.org.
Thanks. Talk to you next time.